worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely wonderful day today. And just let you guys know, you voted and it won the Magnesium Body Balm. Our magnesium oil-based balm infused with essential oils is on sale for product of the week. It won, and so it's on sale right now for over 10% off. So I want to let everybody know that. It's up on the website now currently. And other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad. And I want to start off with a couple of Bible scriptures this morning because I want to share something with you. You know, the other day I was, you know, kind of like thinking about my life and kind of doing a little bit of retrospection about how I got saved, how I accepted Christ, how I've been doing the best I can to walk with the Lord for like, you know, over 40 years now. And I started thinking about it, you know, our lives, when we accept Christ, are pretty much marked by a single choice. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to center our lives around? And this choice is basically a crossroad decision that we make, and it shapes who we are. And by crossroad, here's what I mean by that. You know, you come to a stop sign, and you got to go right or left. You know, you want to be this in your life or that in your life. Let's say you want to be a doctor, you want to be an attorney, you want to be an engineer, you want to own a business. You know, you pick a choice. These are crossroad decisions. And what ends up happening is these crossroad decisions determine the course of our life. And when you accept Christ, it's one of those crossroad decisions. And you got to realize, you have to think and ask yourself a question. What are we going to accomplish with our life? Are we going to be able to go before God Almighty and say, and have Him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, if you center your lives around yourself and the things of the world, it only leads to sadness and destruction and to multiple marriages and just bitterness, because you can never buy enough stuff to fill the void on the inside of you. So you're always buying more and more and more stuff. And what ends up happening, you finally begin to realize there's a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. So why in the world do we think like that? But if we center our lives around our meeting with God and our prayer time every day, it fills each moment with the glorious abundance of God's love, provision, and basically peace. And, you know, it transcends us to another level, the peace that passes all understanding. There's a Bible verse, Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what does it mean I've been crucified with Christ? When we become a Christian, we give up our old selves. And when we baptized, it symbolizes the death, going under the water, being buried, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the symbology of baptism, that's really important for Christians to get baptized. And it's because it's that point in your life where you say, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and do things to fulfill the scripture. It's not the baptism that saves you, but it's an act of repentance that does this. It's like, kind of like an outward expression of an inward change. And we need to understand that we need to have that inward change. You know, one of the greatest and most amazing things about the Christian self is that the Christian faith is that God Himself, in all of His glory and His holiness and His love, would dwell in the heart of man after you accept Jesus Christ. You know, you and I have been brought into a union with God by the blood of the Lamb. We talked about that so many times, about the blood of Christ. Nothing can separate us, nothing, from Him any longer. He is closer than our breath. He is more real than the very ground beneath your feet, because He fills you and He infuses you. The New Testament is filled with truth about our union with God. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to repeat that. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. Romans 6:4 says, you were buried therefore with Him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. Again, that pushes the baptism, how important that is. And in Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Guys, there's never a single second that you're apart from God. God is in you. He's infused you with His Holy Spirit. You're synchronistic with His Spirit. Okay? every trial, success, everything you have is there. He's there for you, and he's available for you all day. That's why I say to you guys, you know, you got to pray. You've got to look at prayer as the time you actually spend with God every single day, that you're actually talking to God. If we truly center our lives around meeting God, you know, we got to learn to acknowledge the fact that he's already in us. He's not a distant God. You know, he's not like Baal and Moloch and all these weird statues and this weird stuff, this snake in a tree. I mean, he's not that. He's in you, and he loves you. And he's traveled to you from his throne in heaven, and he wants to take time with you. He wants to hang out with you like he wanted to do with Adam in the garden, to walk in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening with Adam. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship. He's not just a God who dwells in churches and fellowships and ministries or clergy. He's the God who dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He actually likes you if you're trying to do his will, and longs to be with you in a constant communion. This is the God that we have. So always take time every day to renew your mind to the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, pray on this union that you have with God. Use these scriptures that I gave you today and realize that, you know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Realize that this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad at it. And realize that you were bought at a price, and that God's Spirit infuses you with his presence, and through him you can do all things. Guys, this is why I don't talk about this Trump circus show, fiasco, impeachment garbage that we're having to deal with. We don't really cover much of that. We talk about it every once in a while, but some alternative talk show host now, that's all they are talking about. They're consumed by it. Guys, let me explain something to you. Trump's not going to get impeached, in my opinion. He will not. It will not happen. He'll never get through the Senate. But we're going to be stuck watching this circus sideshow now for as long as they can push the narrative, because it fills the news and it keeps us from talking about the Kabbalah or about Jeffrey Epstein or about the Mossad, or about the rebuilding of the Third Temple, or the Antichrist, and all of the things that they're pushing the narrative towards. This governor in Virginia right now, he's coming out with all of this new legislation. He hasn't stopped at all what he's doing by this giant protest we had this week. He's doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on what he wants. He wants to bring huge amounts of people in from Canada now that are liberals, that have come in from other countries, and allow them to vote without showing any type of ID in Virginia. He's doing everything he possibly can to turn Virginia into a full-blown communist sanctuary. He's even trying to double his doggone term. All of these things he's doing because he's a tyrant. He's like Stalin or Lenin or all these other guys that come in and do whatever they want to do. This is tyranny in Virginia. We see this right now. And I only hope that our governor in the state of Florida, when they start to put all this junk on us with the Second Amendment intrusions, that he vetoes all of this stuff. Guys, Donald Trump claims to be the most pro-Second Amendment president in the history of the country. But yet he pushes red flag gun laws, and his daughter pushes red flag gun laws. He talks about white privilege. He said, well, he doesn't do that anymore. Well, yeah, because I talked to one of the chief clergy to go up to the White House, and they got a hold of Paula White, and I told him, said, please tell her, Ted Brower said, you know, I've got my talk show. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop talking about gay rights. You want to be the most gay pro-president ever. You got to remember, he's still pumping a half a million, $500 million to Planned Parenthood every year in the budget. He's given $1.5 trillion to Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's how much money this president, who's supposed to be pro-life, has given to Planned Parenthood. This is insanity. And we just kind of ignore it, pretend like it didn't happen. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts what's going on. Guys, that's why I say to you, focus on Jesus. Focus on our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, the great I Am. Focus on him. And just realize that we're just passing through this life. I'm 64 years old. I'll never be as strong or as whatever as I was when I was 20. I know that. There's no way it's going to happen. But guys, here's the thing. It's just a quick passage that we have on this planet. Do what you can to bring honor and glory to God through your relationships with your friends, with your family members, and your relationship with God through Christ. Guys, listen to me for a second. Because of Jesus, because he came to us, and he died for us. He created a blood covenant for us through the cross. That allows us to be in covenant with God Almighty, with the great I Am, which means now that God is your covenant head. And when he is for you, nothing can be against you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the ability to go boldly into the throne room of God Almighty because of Christ and talk directly to the Creator of the universe. I mean, think about that for a second. It's real, guys. It's very, very real. And they've done everything they can to try to destroy that. You look at the Darwinian stuff they did back in the 1800s. And they pushed that Darwinian narrative that we came from a rock. We came from a lightning bolt that hit a rock. We came from a frog. We came from a cell. All these stupid lies they come up with because they're trying to invert what God did. You know, but until Darwin, everybody knew it was intelligent design that put the universe together. And this loony who was promoted through the Kabbalists, who started way back with Solomon, this loony basically was promoted into the hierarchy of academia to promote the fact that he thinks we came from a monkey. Well, here's the thing. You got divergent, convergent evolution, all these different terms of evolution. But here's the thing, guys. If human beings came from a monkey, why do we still have monkeys? I mean, think about that for a second. All the monkeys would have turned into people. It doesn't work that way. The DNA doesn't allow that. We were created in God's image. Think about that for a second. We have a soul. All of these entities that fly around, these spaceships that aren't from around here that God told us about thousands of years ago in his word, you know, this disclosure we're going to have now is going to shake the human foundation to its core. No, it's not. We already knew about this stuff. God told us about this stuff. He even told us that our battle wasn't against flesh and blood. So these interdimensional things are what we have to deal with. You know, think about it for a second. They don't have souls. They're so jealous of you. They're so jealous of you that they hate you and they want to be you. And that's why they're trying to corrupt everything that God did, because of jealousy and envy. That's why the word says where there is jealousy and envy, there is every evil work. Guys, encourage one another. Pray for one another. Yeah, you know, I think I've got a list of people that I pray for who did me wrong. You think I'm joking. I'm not. And why would I do that? Why would I pray for people to be blessed who did me wrong? They're primarily pastors. I hate to say that, but it's true. You know, they just did me wrong over the years. And I pray for God to bless them richly. Why do I do that? Because they will know you because you walk in love, and they'll know you because of your fruits. That's what the word says. You know, why am I going to say bad things about people that did me wrong who are still out there preaching the gospel and trying to get people saved? I'm not going to do that. Let it go. Let it drop. Leave it alone. Forgive them. Guys, listen to me. What happens if you don't? If you don't, you're going to elevate your cortisol, okay? And you're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry. And if you're bitter and angry, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stop digestive enzymes from flowing properly, and you're not going to digest your nutrients. And you're going to end up with heart disease, diabetes, and cancer because you got hacked off of the pastor long ago. Guys, your relationship with God Almighty has nothing to do with your pastor, your priest, or your pope. We see that with this ridiculous nutbag in the doggone pope position with the Catholic Church now, this communist they've got in there now. You know, it has nothing to do with them. It doesn't. It's a personal relationship with you because of your being filled with the Holy Spirit, because of your blood covenant with Jesus Christ. You have the ability to pray directly to God Almighty and for him to listen and talk to you and commune with you in the cool of the garden. He loves you that much, guys. I appreciate you guys. Awesome. That was my opening statement, buddy. And what's your first story?
One thing that you did say that's so interesting, and I've seen this a lot, and this is something I've always tried to work on, and I know you do too, is that you're exactly right. When you hold bitterness and grudges against people, especially people that it's not, you know, you can't directly confront any further, like you're not in a direct confrontation right now. Obviously, if there's a situation like that, I mean, you have to handle the situation if you're in a direct confrontation. But I've seen it so many times where people, you know, have something happen to them or somebody does them wrong, and they just stay bitter and angry about it for years, sometimes decades. And I mean, you bring it up, you know, you'll say something about somebody, you know, 10, 15 years ago, oh yeah, so-and-so, blankety, blankety, blank, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, golly, it's 15 years ago, and you're still cussing them as soon as they come up. You know what I mean? And you don't think about it at the time, but all that negative energy, all that negative frequency, all those negative thoughts, all that bitterness that you're harboring in there, you're just brewing in it Literally, you're just brewing it. It's just brewing inside you. And that's why you see a lot of people that are very angry, very bitter. They usually end up coming down with some horrible illness like cancer or something like that when they get older. Not all the time, but I've seen that a lot. And because their body is so stressed out and so bitter all the time, it's just it wears the body out. And it just it's horrible for it. So that's one thing I encourage. If somebody's done something to you or somebody's, you know, done you wrong, you know, just forgive them, pray for them, and be done with it and let it go. You know, and if something comes up, you know, oh, I wish them the best. You know, I pray for them. I wish them the best. I hope they're blessed. And leave it at that. And that's something I definitely encourage a lot of people, just to make things right and put amends, put it behind you, and be done with it, because it doesn't benefit you at all. And most of the time, that person's laying on their bed, sleeping on their pillow, having a great night's sleep, and you're still over at your house all stoved up about it, mad that they did something to you a long time ago, and they don't even know anything about it. So you're not even benefiting anything. So it's something I thought I would bring up on there. And also, too, something you were saying, that I talked about this last night. You know, it's been frustrating to me because I've had some people that have been like, oh, yeah, you know, Donald Trump's really, really supporting the Second Amendment now. Look what he tweeted out over the weekend and with the rally, and he's for the Second Amendment and this and that. Guys, listen, the only reason he tweeted anything, I'll be honest with you, you guys know, I've been a Trump supporter. I have been. I also call stuff out when I want stuff done, as he is the president, which means he's an employee of we the people. Just clarify that. And, you know, you look back at things like that George Washington did and so forth, and, I mean, that man wasn't scared to go boots on the ground all the time. And so something that was troubling to me, and I told this to Dad last night, too, I said, if Trump was really for the Second Amendment, if he was really against what Northam's doing down there in Virginia, if he was really wanting to make a stand and make a really, really, really big presence known that he is 100% pro-Second Amendment, he would have showed up to that rally on Monday. He would have come in with his private security detail and his Secret Service, and he would have blasted on Twitter and said, hey, I may make an appearance, or I may make a you know, random appearance, or not even tell anybody, and just show up and go shake hands with Northam, with, you know, his 30 or 40 Secret Service entourage, all armed, I might add, and say a few words, make a speech maybe, you know, whatever he wanted to do, and come out there and basically say, I don't support Governor Northam. I don't support what he's doing, and we're going to have to look at this very, very closely on the legalities of what he's trying to do right now if he continues to push these anti-Second Amendment bills through the Senate. And that right there, I can guarantee you, that would have snapped some necks super tight. Everybody would have gone, whoa. Well, did President Trump just show up to Virginia to support a Second Amendment gun rally? Yeah, yeah, okay. And, I mean, he would have had my standing ovation if he would have done that. And it would have shown the entire country that he's not going to stand for tyranny, and he's not going to allow a tyrannical government in a state as great as Virginia to be completely and totally overtaken. That's just my take on it. But, again, nothing happened. And it's funny how you see a lot of this stuff. When it's beneficial to him, he'll say something about it, but anybody can say anything. I mean, I can get on and say, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. It makes a pretty big statement when the president shows up to something. That's why I mentioned George Washington, because, I mean, he did stuff all the time. I mean, it was combat. I mean, that man was in it all the time. I mean, when they had the Whiskey Rebellion, I mean, he marched 30,000 troops out to Kentucky or wherever. I mean, that's what he did. And so, I mean, when you have a president that's really adamant about something and he really stands for something, he can make his point very, very loud and clear. And doing it on Twitter, to me, that all he's trying to do is appease his base by coming out with comments like that. And that's why we have to continually be vocal as well for what we're seeing down here in Florida with these insane gun laws they're trying to pass in our Republican-controlled Senate, I might add, which is embarrassing to me that these guys even are in office. So we're going to have to make sure we vote them out in 2020. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. I saw an article the other day, and I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a sheriff about it, and he was kind of agreeing with me on a lot of this stuff, how the DUI arrest have gotten so out of control now in the United States, where it's just another form of revenue now for law enforcement to arrest people for DUIs, even if, by the way, they don't blow a breathalyzer. And they said there's approximately 1.5 million DUIs written out last year. And they said the problem is now not every person arrested is even under the influence whatsoever. And, you know, getting drunk drivers off the road is supposed to be about keeping people safe. DUI stops now, DUI stops, which we have down here in Florida as well, are a critical source of revenue now for a lot of various parties. And very, very unconstitutional. And they'll do that. They'll have full-blown roadblocks. And, granted, they don't do it very often down here. It's usually like on New Year's or something like that. Love roadblocks. Traffic stop. You pull up the line. I need to see your driver's license, sir. Have you been drinking? Blah, blah, blah. Ask you a whole nine yards. And, you know, but the problem with no seal really now is that officers sometimes must fulfill quotas to keep their badges, and judges must appear tough on crime in order to get reelected. So they do this whole war on DUI now that we've seen. While getting drunk drivers off the road is an important task, law enforcement officers are increasingly abusing their power, harassing and even arresting sober people. ABC 15 Arizona reported that sober drivers in Phoenix, Arizona are getting harassed and issued DUIs. Police departments are so drunk on power now that they dub some of their fellow officers the drug recognition experts. These are DUI cops who can make illegitimate arrests acting outside and above the law because they claim they can tell if you're guilty just by looking at you. Phoenix officer David Morris arrested 56 people for DUIs in April of 2018. That's 56 people he arrested for DUIs in April of 2018. In 1 month, guys, that's almost 2 arrests a day. A day for DUIs that he put forward. After toxicology reports came forward, many of the arrests were deemed completely illegitimate. Officer Morris claimed that these motorists were driving under the influence, but it turned out they were completely sober and did not want to be harassed. Arizona doles out approximately 21,000 DUIs per year. So what's the percentage? If we know that a large percentage of David Morris' arrests were illegitimate, how many of those are as well in the whole state of Arizona? How about the entire country? These individuals that basically believe they're drug recognition experts think they have the power to pull you over, search you, command you to perform field sobriety tests, all based on their own opinion of you. These officers can act on your fears, escalate a situation, and put all the blame on you. And it's interesting because my buddy a couple weeks ago got arrested, not for a DUI, but for loitering. I kid you not, loitering. And I just talked to him the other day, and he got an attorney, obviously, and got everything dismissed, whole thing got dismissed. And he was telling me what happened, and he was actually over in Lakeland looking at a house for sale. There's for sale sign, a house, and so he parked his truck in front of the house, and he's walking around the house, looking through the windows. House is empty, by the way. And so, you know, he's just walking around, being him. I mean, he's kind of goofy, but, I mean, he's never been arrested before, by the way. He doesn't have zero record as far as, you know, may have a few speeding tickets, but zero arrest record. Well, Gladys Kravis, across the street, basically, decided to call the cops on him because there's a shady individual walking around the house. Now, what's ironic about this is there's a for sale sign in the front yard. So it's not like he's like sulking around people's backyards that are, you know, people are home. And so, of course, apparently, they get the call. The sheriff's department gets the call. 3 squad cars immediately show up. He's walking around the house. They walk over to him, and he's about to get in his car. They say, "Sir, we need to talk to you." And he's like, "Oh, guys, I'm just looking at the house." And he's on the phone with his wife talking to her, and they pull up. And so he's like, "Oh, let me get off the phone, babe. These officers want to ask me something." And so all of a sudden, he realizes they're there for him. And they say, "What are you doing here, sir?" And he goes, "I'm walking around looking at this house." And they said, "Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm none of your business. What do you guys want? I'm walking around this house. Why are you getting so agitated?" He goes, "I'm not getting agitated. You're asking me what I'm doing, and I'm walking around a house." Well, they start prying at him. They all circle him. All circle around him now, so he can't go anywhere. They start getting, all of them start asking him different questions at different times. And so he gets all spooked, immediately put him in handcuffs. He goes, what are you putting me in handcuffs for? We're detaining you. You're acting agitated and uncontrolled. He goes, I'm acting agitated because you guys won't stop asking me questions. I'm looking in the house. I told you what I'm doing. So eventually, they end up arresting him for loitering because they can't figure out what to do. So they've made this giant debacle. Now they've called backup. Now there's like four other officers that show up. Lights, whole neighborhood's lit up. So at this point in time, they don't know what to do because they're idiots. They've let the situation completely escalate out of control. He's getting belligerent with them now because he's mad that he's in handcuffs and they're detaining him without due process, essentially. He's not doing anything illegally. And apparently for to be able to be charged with loitering, I found out, you have to either flee or become combatant or non-compliant. And he told him his name. He actually pulled out his ID for them right when they had asked for it. So he didn't fill any of those needs. So what they tried to do is they said he was being combatant. So they charged him with loitering and arrested him, took him to Bartow, took him to basically holding, had $100 bond to get out of jail. Wife had to come down there and bond him out. And it was just another excuse to arrest somebody, sell a bond on them, because again, these guys, sometimes they do get absolutely drunk on power and have no idea how to control themselves, and they just have to figure out how to arrest somebody. Or in some cases like this we've seen, they get quotas that they have to arrest, like this Morris guy in Arizona, 56 DUI arrests in August of 2018. How do you justify arresting two people a day for DUIs, and then you find out a lot of these people were sober? Hold your police accountable in your area. Dad and I have done that numerous times, and that means as well getting an attorney if you have to, because I promise you, if you try to represent yourself in court, in most cases, unless you're personally an attorney or you have a whole lot of background in law, they will railroad you and stick you to the wall. I've seen people before that have gotten in trouble for reckless driving and have to go on probation for 6 months. And it's ironic, the first deal my buddy got, this one that got arrested for loitering, got everything dropped now, the first deal they offered to him was 6 months in jail. They came in and said, basically his first arraignment here, they said, we're offering you 6 months in jail. He said, 6 months in jail for loitering? He goes, so it's the maximum sentence. And he's like, no, not guilty. No. So of course the attorney basically came back and said, this is going nowhere. Like we're literally, my client is so petty, he already told me he will spend the money to take this to a jury trial if he has to, over loitering, if you guys really want to roll with this. And they basically said, dismissed, pay like $150 court cost and be done with it. And that's what they did. But again, they harassed him. He had to go to jail. Now he's got to basically wait to get this stuff off his record once it's fully dismissed. Had to pay for an attorney. Had to pay for court costs. All because you had an out-of-control sheriff that basically wanted to go out of his way to justify why he handcuffed somebody for simply walking around a house for sale. So again, keep your law enforcement accountable. Dad and I have done it numerous times. Hold these guys' feet to the fire. When they start doing stupid stuff and start getting tyrannical, make sure you do everything you can to expose what they're doing, to be vocal about what they're doing. That's why I bring this up on the show. When stuff like this happens, I'm friends with a lot of sheriffs, but I'm not going to give them a pass when they do stupid stuff, because they have a badge and they have a gun, and they're sworn oath is to protect and serve the community, not to harass and intimidate. And when officers do incidences like that, you have to call them out for what they're doing, Dad, and not give them a pass because they're police and we have to basically support them just unequivocally all the time because they're police and they can do no wrong. No, I'm not like that. Dad's not like that. Call people out for what they are. When they are held to a position of authority, hold them to it when they do something bad.
Let me explain something to you guys real quick. You know, police officers are like attorneys, or like doctors, or like engineers, or like school teachers. You got good and bad ones. You got good police guys, and you got bad police guys. You got police guys that want to be there because they want to serve and protect, and you got people that are there because they want to harass and intimidate. You have a lot of people that were basically picked on in high school or junior high school, and they basically get a badge and a gun, and now they want to basically get their pound of flesh back for what happened to them when they were younger. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. Oh yeah, they do that. And because a lot of people don't understand, when you go through life, you've always got to deal with the baggage of your youth. Now I'm going to be a little philosophical with you for a second. You know, I've got a friend of mine, and I knew him for years, and he and I went to high school. And, I mean, we literally went all the way through elementary school and junior high school together. And he lived in a really bad environment with an alcoholic father. I mean, he didn't even have plumbing in his house. He had an outhouse he had to go to. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, and he was real short in high school, like 5'3" or something like that. And he was basically being undernourished and wasn't eating the right foods, and basically grew up with a chip on his shoulder. And he finally got out of his house and grew like, you know, about 8 or 9 inches. He's about 5'11" now, I guess. But he never got past his past. He always had this baggage from his childhood. And he started drinking and then started doing drugs. And then he married a good woman. She really is a great woman. And she kept him in line. And he became a licensed contractor here in the state of Florida and became very, very successful. But he could never get past his childhood. He ended up basically having problems with depression and anxiety, and ended up basically going on a bunch of heavy medications. And now when you see him, he walks around, like the last time I saw him, I thought he was drunk, because he's on so many medications. And he's going to psychiatrists, and he's been hospitalized in the emergency room, you know, dozens of times for panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I've talked to him, and I said, look, dude, you just got to get on supplements. You got to get right with God. You need to get some Christian counseling. But it's that past that continually pulls him. This is the same problem we have with police officers. And that's why they get angry, and they've got a chip on their shoulder. It's so many cases because somebody picked on them when they were young, and they've got to prove who they are every single time they pull somebody. That's why so many of them are quick to pull guns and start yelling and screaming and carrying on. That's why I really like the fact now they've got little recorders on them, and they're supposed to use them as far as what's happening during the arrest, because it holds them accountable. There's some crazy police guys out there. I mean, they're nuts. I mean, they will throw you on the ground and taser you just for fun. You think, well, no, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they would. But then there are a lot of really good cops. Probably about 80% of them are good. And they will do everything they can to protect you. And some of them will protect you from other police officers. But the one thing they do all together, and this is just invariably the truth, they all lie for one another. In other words, if one gets busted doing something, the other ones didn't see anything or didn't know anything. And they sound like Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. And it's ridiculous. So Austin's 100% right. I just posted something a couple days ago on the website, and it's an attorney talking about how you don't speak to the police. You basically, you're kind to them, you're cordial to them. If they ask you, what are you doing here? I'm looking at houses. I'm in the house market right now. Officer, am I being detained? Do I need an attorney? That's all you got to say to them. And you don't have to get into a confrontation with them. Just be nice to them. I'm in the house market, saw the house was for sale, want to look around it. My wife and I may want to see it. You know, then if they keep pushing, you say, look, here's the deal, bud. I don't know what's going on here. I haven't done anything. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and be quiet now. You know, if you guys want to go home, you know, come by the house and have a pizza and watch a Florida State football game and, you know, chill out and talk, I'll be happy to. But not now, because right now something weird's going on here. And sure enough, then him getting arrested and hauled off to the county seat. Now he's got his picture and his mugshot going on. This is what you have to understand. No attorney that I know has ever told me my client was helped when he spoke to the police officers. You know,
nope.
there's a reason you have a Miranda right. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. The reason they circled this guy was to try to trip him up with his story, to try to force him to say something he didn't want to say. And invariably, he got himself all agitated, and invariably, he got himself arrested. And he had no police record whatsoever. This is just a power trip these guys were on to try to basically make Gladys Kravitz happy across the street. If the people don't want people to look at their homes, they need to take the for sale sign down. Just a newsflash.
Yeah.
If people want to have a closed listing and you have to have a, you know, invitation to come look at the house, you could do that and not put a for sale sign out. But, you know, you're not going to get near the street traffic. But the reality is, it's difficult to buy a house, especially if it's an upscale neighborhood with street traffic. You've got to get people qualified to look at homes. I have no idea what kind of house he was looking at. But the point is this. You don't have to talk to cops and watch the video. Now, here's something, a little bit of levity here. Hillary Clinton unleashes on Bernie Sanders in a new documentary that nobody likes him. Now, the funny thing about this to me, and I just started laughing when I read this, is that nobody likes Hillary. And she's saying that nobody likes Bernie. She is the witch, the Sabbatean witch of Benghazi. She has a body count of people behind her who don't like her, seem to die everywhere with her husband. I mean, this woman is so deceived mentally, I guess, that she will say that somebody else doesn't like Bernie Sanders. Don't get me wrong. Bernie Sanders is a hardcore communist. He is. You know, I mean, the guy's a sicko, but he's not as bad as Joe Biden, who's the pervert. I mean, you got all these weird – it's like the Democratic Party has a bunch of sickos that are running for election. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't even write a book on it and come up with these characters they come up with. But I love Biden's – I mean, Jim Sanders' response. He goes – I love this. Instead of defending that nobody likes him, he says Sanders responds to Clinton's claim no one likes him by saying, on a good day, my wife likes me. I read that and I thought, well, you know what, Bernie? You've just got a whole bunch of other people that like you now because on a good day, your wife likes you. I mean, I thought that was so funny. Rather than trying to defend what she said, he just made spoof of it and said, on a good day, my wife likes me. Hillary Clinton stole the Democratic nomination from Bernie Sanders in the 2016 election. She stole it from him. It straight was election fraud. And there's a high probability that Bernie Sanders, because of the communist indoctrination of the United States, would have beaten Donald Trump had a fair election been given. I'm just letting you guys know what's happening right now in the United States. Nobody likes creepy Joe pedophile Biden who likes to touch little girls. I mean, the guy's a sicko. If he ever touched my wife like he touches these other people, I would knock him out. I would cold cock him so hard that he'd go down. He's older than you, Ted. Hey, look, I'm a 64-year-old guy. I'm a retiree too. I can go hit another retiree and I'd hit this guy. I cannot believe that somebody has laid him out from touching their wife. The guy's a sicko. He's an absolute sicko, perverted nutbag. And you got to realize this, guys. Oh, by the way, this virus thing, this coronavirus coming out of China now, they're actually admitting over 10,000 people being infected with this thing now. And guys, it's so important that you realize people are dying from it now in China, severe acute respiratory syndrome, the SARS coronavirus. It's so important that you understand that you got to keep your immune system strong. Listen to the show yesterday, and I'm going to say one more thing to you. We're having a lot of really bad weather patterns all over the country right now. If you've got young children and you're taking them to church like on Wednesday night for different things, you might want to avoid this week. Because, guys, we've got a lot of kids that are going to be going to church tonight that are going to be unbelievably sick. And you don't want your healthy children around sick kids, because then one of them's probably going to catch it. The other one's going to catch it. You're going to get it. Your wife's going to get it. Your relatives are going to get it. It's going to pass through. When we have immune systems that are as compromised as we have in the United States, it's very important to use wisdom. Missing one Saturday or one Wednesday or one Sunday night going to a youth program at church with a bunch of other sick children, especially if they're toddlers, is probably a good idea when everybody's sick. We talked about that yesterday. Just don't be forcing this stuff and people basically end up getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Also, one more thing. This is another article that came out. This is a road rage incident that happened in Hollywood, California. And I want to just share this with you because this is something that you got to be aware of. Don't brake check people. If somebody's in the left-hand lane and you got to go around them on the right, don't get in front of them in the left-hand lane on the interstate and slam on your brakes to try to get them to move over. Just ignore them. They're idiots. They're idiots. You can't fix an idiot. You can't fix stupid. You can't fix stupidity. So it's just they don't know how to drive. They're probably from another country or they're on statin drugs and they don't even realize what dread lane they're in anyhow. Go around them. Avoid them. Make sure they don't run into you when you pass them. Do everything you possibly can to get away from them, but don't brake check them. What happens if they run into you? Now you got an accident on the interstate. Or they're going to road rage you. They're going to start chasing you down and try to run you off the road. Perfect example. Woman dies in Hollywood over road rage brawl when her passenger runs her over, cops say. This is a bizarre story. A bizarre sequence of events happened in Hollywood early on Tuesday, left a 26-year-old woman dead after she was crushed by her own Mercedes-Benz. The Mercedes bumped a motorcycle on Sunset Boulevard, and the motorcycle's angry, followed it to the 1300 block of North Martell Avenue. Then the two women got out of the Mercedes to confront the motorcyclist that they had bumped shortly after midnight. I'm sure they were all probably drinking. And then the woman got back into the Mercedes to leave. The car begins to drive away, said Captain Brian Welding of Los Angeles Police Department, KCSB reported. And the driver ends up getting ejected. Apparently they didn't have the door closed. Fell out of the car, somehow striking a tree. The passenger then jumps into the driver's seat of the Mercedes, tries to escape. But in doing so, she pins the other woman against the tree and kills her. I mean, I don't even know how this even happened. It was like a Laurel and Hardy show. The passenger ran away and has not been found. The motorcyclist, you know, confused by all what he just saw, who stayed at the scene, is cooperating with the authorities. Guys, listen to me. People are armed. People have guns. People have machetes. People have lost their reasoning skills because of fluoride and because of vaccines and because of statin drugs. Be careful when you confront people on the highway. I mean, and also one thing they like to do now, a lot of these scammers do, they bump into your vehicles. They bump into your vehicle and they want to draw insurance from you and they say you ran into them. They call the police. I mean, this happens all the time. Or they'll bump into the back of your vehicle and they'll say you slammed on your brakes in front of you. Or they'll get in front of you and they'll slam on their brakes, have you bump into the back of them so they can get you for a workman's comp claim, or not a workman's comp claim, but for a liability claim. They'll say they were injured. It happens all the time. Just slow down. If you got a weirdo in front of you, just slow down. If you've got another guy, basically, who wants to get in front of you and close the gap so you can't stop, slow down and go around them. Learn to drive defensively. I drove a motorcycle for many, many years. I got my first bike when I was in college. I was like 18 years old. And I'm not recommending motorcycles. I don't recommend them at all, okay? Because nowadays with everybody on drugs, you know, you have such an unbelievably hard time staying alive on a motorcycle as it is without everybody being stoned on statins. So, guys, yeah, it's so important that you avoid conflict. And I learned this in the motorcycle. A motorcycle never wins against a car. It's just stupid. They think they can just do that. And so don't drive bikes if you can't. If you're going to drive bikes, do it out in the country where there aren't a bunch of traffic, there's not a bunch of traffic around you. And don't get involved in road rage. Don't do it. I no longer have a motorcycle. I want you guys to know that. Austin no longer has a motorcycle. And it's just, you know, motorcycles are extremely dangerous because there is no protection. Now, I love bikes. I love Harleys. But I also like BMWs. I like motorcycles. I think they're beautiful. But I don't drive them anymore because of all the influx of people here in Central Florida. It's just dangerous to drive around now. So, guys, be careful and think when you're driving. Austin, what do you think?
No, that's really well said. I mean, I used to be real big into sport bikes, and I sold all mine once I had Hunter, my first son, just because I've had so many friends die and so many friends become severely injured. And I myself, you know, I escaped the clutches of death numerous times on those bikes. And it's just one of those things. You got to be really careful on it. And like Dad said, if you're trying to get around somebody, just do your best to avoid people and just get past them. I've had it happen to me numerous times. You know, you do something, you cut somebody off, and they get in front of you, and you brake check them, and then you get in front of them. I've done it when I was younger. I don't drive like that anymore. Now, if I drive fast, I just try to drive fast and get away from everybody. I don't want to be around anybody. Just leave me alone. Because I've had so many incidences where people do dumb stuff like that, and they want to sit there and just try to prove that they're going to show you, so they pull in front of you and brake check you. It's full-blown idiotic. It really is. Also, too, in other news, in Europe, this is interesting now. The more we're starting to see country after country in Europe be forced to take care of and fund these migrants, it's a very clear indication of what we're starting to see here in the United States as well. There's an incident over basically in the Netherlands now. A Dutch municipality had to cover a hotel bill for nearly $20,000 for a family of six seeking asylum from England. this story is so nuts, and the fact that I hear more and more about this going on. The family, Somalian, had lived in a time for the Netherlands, but moved to Birmingham, England, for years, where the father claimed he had inadvertently been entangled in a gang conflict and was then forced to flee back to the Netherlands. After being denied housing assistance in the Netherlands by multiple municipalities, the family returned to their previous home of Almere, where they were also turned down for free housing. Housing assistance. They basically wanted to have a free house. They lived in England, both had a job. Mother and father had a job, were working. He gets wrapped up in a gang conflict and flees the country, okay? And then they want to have free housing now. So then they took it upon themselves to basically take it to court. And according to the municipality, the family left the UK unprepared, and they said they can arrange houses themselves. But the judge ruled in their favor that the situation is urgent, and the municipality of Almere must give them that. The family was housed in a hotel for 4 months at a cost of 163 euros per night until the judge ruled the family was capable of seeking housing on their own now. And the court basically said when the family lived in the United Kingdom, they were self-reliant. Both parents had paid jobs. They did not use any assistant agencies in the United Kingdom. They did not need any help. And then they come back to this country and want free everything. And so now, basically, this city is stuck with the bill. The country doesn't want to pay for it. Netherlands don't want to pay for it. Nobody wants to pay for it. Now the city's basically stuck trying to fund it for this hotel. And it's crazy to me because we see more and more of when these things happen, they're completely censored. And for example, French intellectual Renard Camus, who's been very, very vocal about the mass immigration of Somalia and Syria and all these Middle Eastern countries into Europe now, was given a 2-month prison sentence for saying that mass immigration in Europe represents an invasion. I kid you not. This is how hardcore communist they have become in France when it comes to freedom of speech. Campus is only avoiding jail time by being forced to pay an 1,800 euro fine to two anti-racist organizations, the SOS Racism and the LICRAR, the International League Against Racism and Anti-Semitism. He was charged, and I kid you not, with public incitement to hate on the basis of origin, ethnicity, nationality, race, or religion. This is literally a speech hate crime now. He said, and I quote, he was convicted from a 2017 speech in which he declared immigration in Europe has become an invasion. The irreversible colonization is a demographic colonization by the replacement of the population. The ethnic substitution, this great replacement, is the most important event in the history of our nation since it has existed, as with other people. As the story continues, it will not be that of France. The national consensus of resistance, we have to oppose the Islamization and the struggle for salvation of our common civilization, Celtic, Slavic, German, Greek, and Christian roots. And basically said that basically mass immigration is the substitution and the tendency to substitute everything and the original with its copy. And so he just goes on, basically calls out for exactly what it is. This is a massive invasion. And it's ironic now in France that, you know, they suffer so many terror attacks, even mild ones on a regular basis now, that it barely even makes news stories anymore. I know, I've had multiple people that I know. I had a buddy of mine that went over there to Paris with his girlfriend at the time. They're not together anymore. And he went over there a couple months ago. And he told me one of the craziest things about it over there, he knew the Muslim hordes were everywhere. He said that was nothing new. He's seen photos of it. He said they were everywhere. He said, but what was crazy was all the dudes running around with machine guns. And he said, dudes, like every corner block you go, they have full-blown military with machine guns. He goes, I don't like a shotgun or a pistol. He goes, they're walking around full-blown, like European, you know, M4 style weapons. I mean, full automatic weapons everywhere. Everywhere you go, armored personnel carriers. He's like, it's like full-blown police state over there. And that's exactly what they've turned into now in France. And now, if you say anything about it, and you talk about the invasion from the, you know, Islamic countries, you basically are charged with inciting hate against a race because you're speaking the truth about what's going on. Unbelievable to see this go on in Europe. And this is why I've warned so many people. This all started with political correctness in Europe, and it festered and it grew like a cancerous tumor being fed by this liberal ideology and just idiotic demands to comply, and it slowly turned into what it is now. This is exactly what we have going on here in the United States right now. That's why I encourage everybody to completely and totally remove political correctness from your speech, from your lifestyle. And I don't mean running around being rude to people or being just belligerent people. I don't mean that at all. What I mean by it is call a spade a spade. Call a garden of weeds a garden of weeds. If something's going on and something's causing a problem and something's not working, call it out. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, we got to let these people run around and machete people because, you know, that's what they did in Somalia. We can't tell them they can't stab people. That's just racist. No, it's idiotic not to call it out. And that's what we're starting to see now with this communist agenda being infiltrated in the United States and the political system through the media and the schools, is that nobody can say anything anymore. I mean, to the point now that you have grown men cross-dressing, running around as a cross-dresser as a man, but he wants to pretend he's a woman. And if you say he's a man, or if you say sir, they're starting to try to force these things basically by saying, we're going to charge you with hate speech, like they've done in New York now with the laws up there. They could charge you for basically calling somebody their gender pronoun that they don't prefer. I don't even get into it. It's so confusing. It's disgusting. This is what we're seeing happen here, and this is exactly what's going to happen in the United States, just what's happening in Europe. They're going to reach a point in time, if we don't make a stand and continue to be vocal about this, they're going to come in and say, oh, you know, you said this, we heard you talking about this here, you can't say that, that's hate speech, you can't talk about that. You're going to go, why can't I talk about it? Because that's hate speech. You're inciting hate against a race because I'm talking about an Islamic invasion and I don't support Islamic ideology. Whoa, you can't say that, bud. That's illegal speech. I'm not calling proper authorities on here. That's where it's headed. That's already what they do over in Europe. And the only thing we can do about it right now is resist it by speaking the truth and not following the political correct ideology that they're trying to force on us. Because if enough people refuse to follow along with this idiotic demands, they can't force it on everybody. The only way they can force it is by consent and when people go along with it. So just something I wanted to kind of add on there and bring that up as we're seeing this happen in Europe. Very, very sad time, Deb.
You know, Austin, it's the ADL and groups like the ADL. This is the communist group that basically overthrew Russia, tried to overthrow Germany, and its teachings have permeated now into the cultures over the last 100 years. And this is what we have. You know, in Russia, if you talked against what the government said, you couldn't talk against this in the Soviet Union. They would put you in a gulag, in a re-education camp, which, you know, Hillary wants to do. And, you know, a lot of Bernie's supporters want to do. And they would basically force you to comply with the brainwashing episode, or they would just take you out back and shoot you or let you die in the gulag. And this is the problem that you have with – you have multiple generations of this happening. Because remember, when you teach a child that this is the way it's supposed to be when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, when they're in a theta brainwave state – I talked about this last week – you can't, no matter what you do, change their mind when they're an adult. It's like if you try to talk to me about – you say, well, Jesus Christ never existed. I don't believe you. I'll never believe that because I know what the Holy Spirit's done for me. I know what Jesus Christ did for me. I know the entire world's calendar is what it's done for me. I would never change my opinion on that, period. This is how they feel about communism. They're not going to change. And I don't care if you that's why I read the article, the scripture last week. Even if somebody returned from the dead, they still won't believe. They won't believe. They'll say it was fake because they can't believe. Their theta brainwave was programmed. And this is what Bernays learned. This is what – who was a Sigmund Freud cousin who was also – Bernays, by the way, was a Sabbatean Kabbalist. They learned if you program them from a youth that they can't be changed. This is what's happened in Europe. So now Germany – to its own demise, has become so politically correct that they can't speak against the Muslim invasion. They can't do it in France. They can't do it in Italy. They can't do it anywhere because if they do, they go to jail. Because what they do, they produce these laws because they go in and they invade the legislative bodies like they're doing in Virginia, and they start producing laws which make you commit a crime if you do this, which means you get arrested and you get caught up in the great grinding gear of the legal system. And after you get through that a couple of times, you're like, the heck with this crap, I'm just going to shut up. And that's what happens to most people. They stop. That's why so many of these people who are patriots who get put in prison, you know, there was a guy a few years ago, he was in a march on D.C. with fully loaded AR-15s and promoted it. Went on Alex Jones' show and promoted it. He was going to do that. Well, they put him in jail. And he was in jail for a while. And you never hear from him anymore. That guy just went away. Another guy was preaching against evolution. Then he did some stuff wrong, supposedly with his 501c corporation. They threw him in jail. And boy, he shut up too. He got out. You know, you go into those systems and those penitentiaries and you get treated like an animal for 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years or 4 or 5 months. When you come out, you don't want to do that twice. It's all based on the laws they passed to force you into compliance. See, we live in an invisible gilded cage and we don't even realize it's a cage that we're in. By the way, Buttrick says that the U.S. economy needs 11 million illegal immigrants to continue functioning. Now, let me say something to you because I don't disagree with this, and here's why. We have a problem in the United States right now because of abortion with 60 million dead the Ponzi scheme's breaking down, and the ability to continue to feed the system is breaking down, because we simply don't have the workers any longer from a grassroots level to do the construction, et cetera, in the United States, from the population base that did not reproduce itself because they killed 60 million of their own. It's sad. I mean, it really is. I mean, you try to get people to work for you right now. You literally bring a construction crew in. It's like they're literally 100% Hispanic except for the managers or the foreman. I mean, it just is what it is. And you think, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, guys, we stopped raising little Americans. We aborted them instead. And so now we've got a problem because this Social Security system, which is a Ponzi scheme, doesn't work unless you bring in more workers who pay in more Social Security, who pay in more money. Now, the problem is a lot of these illegals, they run with, say, facial security numbers, but when they at least do that and go through payroll, they're paying in their Social Security. The problem that we have is that, you know, we have basically eliminated an entire generation of people because of abortion, because of Roe v. Wade. And so we have a problem in the United States with the lower end of the economic system as far as in the construction industry, that we simply haven't got the available people to fill these slots. So it's a problem. And so now he's saying that you need 11 million illegal immigrants to continue functioning. How about we had 11 million, 60 million patriots still here? How about we had 60 million people that have been raised as little Americans who knew the truth of what the Constitution or what the Republic was supposed to stand? Now, I realize that the vast majority of these people who had these abortions were liberals, or they wouldn't have the abortion to start with, because conservatives very rarely get abortions. But conservatives would be into the same thing, too. Conservatives say, well, I'm only going to have one child, or I'm only going to have two children. And they don't understand that it doesn't, the population doesn't reproduce itself that way, and we have to reproduce ourselves. We have to continue to be fruitful and multiply and teach people how to be Christians. By the way, Cafe Pacific, I want to make one more comment here. I'm going to close that off to finish the show. Cafe Pacific cabin crew is warning of a catastrophic, they service China, they're warning of catastrophic consequences of not guarding against the Wuhan virus, and the crews are now demanding that they have the right to wear masks coming out of China on all flights. Guys, this is a major deal. Be really, really careful when you get in public right now, because this stuff's going to start spreading like wildfire. I love you guys. Stay frosty, stay strong, stay committed to Christ. I appreciate y'all to finish it up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. Keep your immune system strong right now. Make sure you're taking extra doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, even the viral graphis. You can start taking that on and off in the astragalus. We have the Healthy Immune Kit on the website right now, up on the front page. And so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that everybody needs to be doing, because it's some crazy weather we're getting down here in Florida. I mean, it was 33 degrees this morning when I got up, 33, 34. And, you know, a couple days ago, it was like in the 80s. So keep your immune system strong. Stay ready. Stay prepared, as always. That's why I always tell everybody, and I say it again, make sure you have some food. Make sure you have some water. Make sure you got a gear bag at all times, so if something happens, you're not caught off guard. Thank you guys again for the continued support of healthmasters.com. And if you need anything, be sure to check out the website, the Magnesium Body Balm, on sale right now for over 10% off on the website, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.